This Rock Talk podcast recording is an interview and opinion product that is the property of rocksubculture.com, all rights reserved. Rocksubculture.com is not responsible for any statements or opinions expressed by the guests of this program. Welcome to Rock Talk, the official podcast for rocksubculture.com. Each podcast features interviews with special guests to discuss all aspects of popular music. Rocksubculture.com travels the globe to experience, review, and archive live concert events. Interview those involved in producing and performing a variety of genres of popular rock music, as well as find and learn about related studio and stage use artifacts and memorabilia. Now, let's join our host, Jason DeBoard.
Okay, so I'm with Peter Hayes from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, and we're indeed in Kranz, Montana, Switzerland, for the Caprices Festival, and we've actually got a nice view. We're actually looking at out at the Alps, yes, which is pretty killer. So
it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it's really cool to meet you, and
in a postcard setting.
Yeah, for sure. It beats some of the other locations we might be at right now. So first, I want to talk about Spectre at the Feast, your new album that either this morning or yesterday you put where people can stream it online on your website. Yeah. And then it comes out next Tuesday in the States, at least. So
yeah, I think it's it got found somewhere, put up, somebody released it.
I think it's Rolling Stone before us, had it before you guys.
Yeah, well
now that's probably sanctions though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but now it's on some a couple free sites. So I guess that was a way of saying, well, if it's already out there, might as well let people listen to it, a better quality maybe of it.
Yeah, so I actually started listening to it at 6 a.m. this morning when I got back from writing about last night's show. I'm kind of curious about the opening. It's sort of got like a somber, like it's definitely not like a rock opening, the first track, but then it sort of transitions. So could you talk to me a little bit about that song and kind of how you chose that to introduce the new album?
Firewalker, right? That's the one that starts with the bells
again. Yeah.
Yeah. That was done with Rob and Leah and the producer, Chris Goss. He did the keyboard. There's no guitars on that. Yeah, that's that one. Firewalker,
I think it
right?
kind of transitions into it, right?
I don't believe there's any. It's just a couple keyboards or that real distorted kind of reverb.
Yeah.
You could maybe hint at, you know, it could be a guitar, but it's just keyboards, and the bass is distorted, so that, you know, takes up a good amount. But it was just that. And then I had nothing to do, so so I put on, I just, you know, I started messing around with just putting on that intro stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it ended up being kind of a way of maybe tying in the whole album as far as kind of make it circular, you know, starting it that way with that kind of bell thing. And then the idea was maybe that, you know, we put it on loop, you know.
Kinda. Yeah.
But yeah, they did that one out on in the desert on mushrooms, and left me out of that party.
Yeah,
I came in late. but yeah, that's the story of that one, I think.
Yeah. Now you guys, you've been working on this album for like 3 years. One, what do you think of like the whole concept of albums? Because it seems like in the music industry today, everything's, you know, single driven, and people have short attention spans, and people are buying, you know, one song at a time. And it seems like you guys have a real concepts behind your albums, and you know, obviously you take your time with them to get like a really great piece of art. So
this one we just lost our minds a little bit, you know. Loss of a family friend and all that kind of threw us into a spiral of not doing music for a while, just kind of fucking around trying to figure out, you know, how to get back on your feet type thing. You know, got lazy in that world for a bit, you know, sitting and pouting for a while.
Yeah.
Had to get yourself out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Then get back into playing. And then, once it started going, you know, then got real intense on just trying to accomplish, something that I've been trying to accomplish for a couple of years anyways on albums, which is just a depth that it's a bit harder to get to, I guess, as far as leaving space within the music to let it breathe in different ways. As far as concepts with any of that, I don't know. I mean, if being concerned about how an album flows as a concept, then I guess that's maybe something we've got. And we don't really have songs for radio anyways.
Right.
So all we got is album.
Well, it seems like your fans that you have are like hardcore fans. Like the people that really enjoy your music, it's like you'll ask them, who's your favorite band? And it's you guys. So how do you think that comes about, where it's like the people that you reach, you like really reach, you know?
Well, they're nice folks.
Yeah.
I guess. I can't explain that fully. Thankful for it.
Yeah.
You know, thankful for it. And I don't know what the right word is. Besides thankful, I give it a fair amount of respect, because that's something that as any artist I would think would want, is a connection with somebody, you know.
Right.
When you start out, you want a connection with everybody, but it's kind of a bullshit connection, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because you just want
it's
everybody.
It's like transient, you know.
Well, yeah, anybody and everybody. And it's like, I'm cool with anybody and everybody. But at a certain point in time, you kind of got to go, well, you know, anybody and everybody tends to go away real quick, too.
Yeah.
And so it's really lovely when there's a good core that, you know, kind of live through it with you, and are willing to stick around through albums like Howl, that, you know, that people, you know, threw people off. You know, this one might throw some folks off too, you know. But people, you know, give us some respect for that, and so that's nice. It's a good thing. It's what you hope for, like I said. It's what any musician would hope for.
Yeah.
Artist of some sort. You know?
Yeah. Well, I listened to the album only once, but I think it's phenomenal, and I tend to have that reaction when I first hear an album. Like, I might not be into it at all, but if like I'm into it immediately, I know it's going to be like, you know, a real killer album for me. And I go
back and forth with that.
Yeah,
I've had a few of them where I was just, no, fuck, I don't get it at all. Spindrift was one. Actually, you heard Spindrift? Didn't get it at all in the first listen. Then for some reason gave it another chance. I was like, something kept clicking back in my head, kept going, huh. Give it another chance, and every once in a while I let one go, and then come back to it, like, oh, I get it now. love it completely, you know.
Cool.
Sorry.
Well, talking about fans, one of my good friends, Jody, she's like, I think, one of your number one fans. She's from San Francisco. Yeah, yeah. She was at the December show with the Christmas hat on.
Yeah.
So I asked her if she had any questions to ask you. So I've got a couple questions from her. So one of them is, she said, several of your album titles have been literary references. Howl from the Ginsberg poem, Beat the Devil's Tattoo from the Poe short story, and now Spectre at the Feast from Shakespeare's Macbeth. Can you talk a little bit about your influences from literary works?
Oh, no, that would be all Rob.
Rob
named all three of those. Yeah. I don't read enough to say I have much of an influence in the literary world.
Yeah.
I am an awful reader.
What about other, what other pop culture things kind of that do you have an affinity for? Is there anything that influences your music? Like, do you ever see a movie or anything else that, you know, gives you some ideas?
The only thing I really find interesting about movies is that you really, you know, I find it interesting that you kind of have to have music to really create, you know, it's a soundtrack, you know what I mean, but to create them a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it takes kind of both those things working together, you
right.
know? So I always like that. I always think about that when you find something that kind of touches you in a movie. It's like,
yeah.
He's like, would it be if the music wasn't there doing what it's doing?
Right.
You know, would it be the same or not?
Well, it's like, look at any movie John Williams has scored, like Star Wars. Could you imagine people taking it seriously if it didn't have that score? Or Jaws without that, you know?
It's interesting. That is like what, you know, becomes more memorable in a way. I don't know what I'd say I draw from in pop culture. I'm pretty sheltered. I shelter myself from a lot of it, really.
Yeah. Well, do you feel that your music is kind of like the soundtrack to your own life?
No, that's horribly self-indulgent. Oh, my God. That just hit me. No way. I hope not. No fucking way. I would never listen. No, I can't listen to our own albums. Never do.
Once really?
Done, I fucking can't stand them. I mean, it's not that I can't stand it. It's just like...
You hear them differently than your fans do.
Once I don't ever listen to them again. Only to remember what the how to play them again. That's the only time I'll ever listen to them again.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel when you're on stage performing? Like, do you get an adrenaline rush from that? Like, what is it like for you?
That's the other connection, you know. I mean, that's the part that's missing in studio albums a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This one we were able to get pretty okay as far as I was trying to concentrate on it a bit, to remember to play the music as though I know it's hard to describe, you know, feeling it in that moment, you know, when the feeling wasn't there, you just stop and you start over, you know, you try to get that right. A lot of times you just kind of ditch that thought and just, you know, put on another six guitars and, and try to get it as loud as possible. But live, it gives you the freedom to be, the nice thing about live is it gives you the freedom to either be in the moment, you know, you can play it sad, sing it sad, yell it sad, you know, don't yell it sad or yell it angry, you know, play it angry. So, you know, every day you can put a little different emotion into it, whichever that is that day, you know.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think it would be a real drag if that wasn't possible. If it was one dimensional, I don't think I'd enjoy.
Because touring I don't think a lot of people realize how hard it is to tour and just constantly be on the move and stuff. So if you're not getting some kind of reward out of it, right? Well, other than this festival, where you're looking out at the Alps,
Other than sitting in the chateau. it isn't. The people that are working the hardest are the people that are helping us do our music, really.
Yeah.
We have a certain thing, you know, we got to do to make it, you know, good. You know, we got to take a bit of responsibility for ourselves, you know, and do it right. But we're not, you know, I grew up on a farm, so it's not really working.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Things could be more challenging,
have a lot
I guess.
Of fun, you know.
Yeah.
So. I try to keep that in mind, you know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you get sore and tired, but there's a lot of sore and tired people out there.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the whole Sound City experience? I was actually at the Hollywood show I got to see it. It was awesome. Yeah. And I love the song you guys came. To me, that's the best song on the album. I love that's it. Cool. It's so nice far, song. It's like my favorite song of the year.
Yeah, nice.
I just think it's brilliant. So what was that like for you, that whole experience?
It was nice, you know? I mean, I'm always a little awkward meeting people that are famous, you know? So, you know, but he's really a sweet guy, you know? And it was nice. It was easy, you know? I mean, there's kind of a bit of mutual respect there, you know, a little bit, you know? And I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting to have any respect for us at all, you know? I didn't expect that.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, I don't really, you know, I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't really assume that, you know, from a dude, you know, coming from where he's come from and doing what he's doing now, you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice. That is really nice. You know, and during writing the song, you know, he's like, so where do you want to go? I was like, well, I don't know. Let's try it again and see if we can go here with it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was loose and easy, you know?
And Butch, yeah. worked on that.
Yeah, well. I was only in for the one day. Robert went in for the singing. I only did the guitar the one day. I forget what else I was trying to. We were trying to do something with our album. I was trying to finish something. I believe it was on tape, which you hadn't seen that in a while. You know, in working capacity, anyways. We've had plenty of times we brought tape in and the machine's broken, or you know, the guy doesn't know how to use it anymore. You know, stuff like that. So it's nice to see a reel-to-reel working again.
Yeah.
Which then you got to put on your other hat. It's like, oh, yeah, you got to actually play, you know, and play proper, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the mistakes that are on there, I was like, oh, yeah, forgot about that. I can't fix that. You know, then it's funny talking about how you can, it's funny stuff you can do with tape, actually, as far as how much you can cut it up and edit on it. And, you know, there's gotten little discussions about with Butch about that, you know, how far you can take it with tape and how to treat Pro Tools, you know, when it gets there. I'm always kind of try to keep it, you know, always goes a little too far now and again, but you try to keep the rule of it's tape, you know. If you're going to edit something, it's like edit it like tape, like take that chunk out and go there, and, you know, or else. You know, or else you play it again, you know, do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, are you guys excited to be touring this new album now?
Yeah, it's been a good feeling, actually. I've been away for, I haven't played live in a while, you know, like I said, just sitting in a studio doing it.
Yeah.
You tend to stare at yourself too much, you know.
Yeah.
Get concerned about, you know, every little thing.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's just nice to, it's nice to not have the chance, you know, when it's live, it goes by, the mistake's there, and you just kind of go, huh.
Yeah.
There it was. You know? Yeah. And it's out, and it is what it is, and you smile, and people laugh at you, you know, because they notice it, or they don't, you know.
Yeah.
And it's great. That's the real life of it, you know.
Yeah.
It can be fucked up, and you can laugh about it. It doesn't have to be on tape. It doesn't have to be, you know. It's a good feeling. You know, it's good to have that feeling back. Anyways, you know.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today. It's been awesome to meet you and share this awesome view with you. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys perform tonight.
Cheers, I hope you enjoy it. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our program, Rock Talk. For the latest gig archives, articles, and features about popular music and concert events around the world, please visit us online at www.rocksubculture.com.
Buster. You can't even say Moose Busters.